nation. That is, teachers, authoritative about a whole lot of things, you know. In other words, being involved in so many things and not being good at any of it. My brethren, be not many masters. That is, teaching a whole lot of things because you're going to receive the greater condemnation for the things you teach. In other words, it's better to know exactly what you're saying, and so the answer to that is preach the word. Now, verse 2. For in many things we offend all, that is, in things we teach. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, the answer to that thing is the Bible. For instance now, in many things we offend all. Now notice in Philippians chapter 1, all right, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. In other words, the way to keep from being offensive toward all, or offending all or whatever, is to approve the things that are excellent. And you approve the things that are excellent by rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, in James chapter 3, verse 2, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, how can I manage that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at it please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the answer to the thing. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then the answer to the whole thing is to keep from offending and receiving the condemnation at the judgment seat of Christ. I need to be perfect in my teaching. Well, how can I be perfect in my teaching? By using the inspired word of God and approving the things that are excellent by rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 3. Behold, we put, by the way, I'm in James now. James 3, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Notice the little things and the things of significance from here on now. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a fire, a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain. Both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, if I go back in verse 5, I see the tongue is little. It's just a little thing. And yet that little tongue as the little helm in a ship. That tongue boasts big things as the little helm controls a big ship. That tells me something then. That tells me that your tongue controls your body. Unless your body controls your tongue, and your body cannot tame your tongue. The tongue controls the body. Men are controlled by their tongue. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. That's exactly the idea that I'm trying to present here. If we'd watch our tongue, then sometimes, in other words, we would be careful about some things we say. when those things we say bring us into a condition that's bad. In other words, just like the helm on a ship, if that helm is not controlled, that ship will be allowed to go into stormy seas, and the storms will beat that ship to pieces. But if that helm is controlled right, and it can't control itself like the tongue can't control itself, then if it is control right, the man at the helm, the captain of the ship, controls the helm, directs the ship. So it is with our tongue. The Spirit of God can tame the tongue. The Lord can tame the tongue. Therefore, the Lord taming the tongue will control the body, and your body will stay out of the sea of trouble wherein you'll have to give an answer for the things you taught at the judgment seat of Christ. I hope you understand what I'm saying. For instance, at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have to give an account for the things we said as we taught doctrine. And if those doctrines are bad, they're going to burn as works at the judgment seat of Christ. Watch out for that tongue. How can it be controlled? By the Spirit of God. Then notice some things about the tongue in the Bible. There are 13 that I want to refer to this morning. Go back to Job, please. Job chapter 20. Job 20. And notice that in Job 20, there is the viper's tongue. Job 20, and the whole thing has to do with the hypocrite and the whatever of verse 5. Job 20, verse 5, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment. Though his excellency, that is the wicked, the hypocrite, so forth and so on. Now come to verse 15. He hath swallowed down riches, he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. And by the way, the riches that he swallows down has to do with things that he acknowledges doctrinally. It's the things he learns. See, like the writer says, I found the word of God and tasted them, and they were good to my taste. In other words, you eat words like you eat food, all right? He eats down the wealth that the world has to offer in its theology and whatever, philosophy and this and that and the other, but he vomits them up again. Now, verse 16, he shall suck the poison of asp, that is, the people that write the books are asp, the viper's tongue shall slay him. In other words, any man that has a constant diet of the things that are written by the lost, doomed, and damned men of this world are going to be slain by those things that they read. I mean, it's death in the pot. Turn, please, to Psalm 5, and notice the flattering tongue. The fifth psalm. Psalm 5, and notice he's talking about the foolish of verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. In other words, the foolish of verse 5 is the bloodthirsty, deceitful man of verse 6. Now go to verse 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue like politicians. Turn, please, to Psalm 12, and notice the proud tongue. Psalm 12. We'll read from verse 1. Psalm 12, 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Turn, please, to Psalm 120 and notice the deceitful tongue. Psalm 120. Verse All right, Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. And by the way, this is what they call the Messianic Psalms. It's the Lord himself. In other words, the Lord in his distress cried unto the Father, and the Father heard him and delivered his soul, as in Acts chapter 2. And he was where he was as a result of lying lips and a deceitful tongue. In other words, they called the witnesses against him. The witnesses agreed not one with the other. They lied, and they brought about deceit. Verse 3, what shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue, that witness against him. Verse 4, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn, and on the thing goes. In other words, if I make the application there, in my distress, I can call upon the Lord, and the Lord will hear me. And the Lord will deliver me as he delivered the Lord. How did he deliver the Lord? Well, the Lord prayed that he'd save him from death. But the Lord didn't save him from death. Therefore, I read in Romans chapter 8 that we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter every day, all day long. In other words, men with deceitful tongues and lying lips and whatever are going to speak things against us as they spoke against the Lord. And God Almighty is not going to stop them from doing that now any more than they stopped them from doing that with him. He said the servant is not greater than his master. But the Lord will deliver. All you must do is prepare to take it and be prepared to go to the slaughter, because you're going to be carried to the slaughter if you believe the truth and stand for the truth as the Lord did. And the people are not going to be able to find any other way to do it without lying against you and being deceitful. And don't you ever forget, they will do it, and they will bring witnesses against you, but the witnesses never will agree one with the other. You know why they won't? We just read it in James chapter 3. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. Therefore, anything anybody tells somebody else, when that one tells it, the tongue takes over. A deceitful tongue gets involved, and by the time that thing is gone to four or five people, it is a mess. But the lying tongue, the deceitful tongue, God will cut off. Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Proverbs 6:16, these things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And you know something, folks? When you go into this thing and begin to see it, you see why there's not a whole lot of preaching about the tongue. There's not a whole lot of preaching about money. I found that out. I found the pressure was greater on those tapes, or when I was teaching those things on money, it was the greatest that I'd run into for years. Why, the devil brought a condition that prevailed there that caused knots in my stomach. Trying to find a material on that and whatever. And on and on. I find as I go on this thing about the tongue, the more I check out these passages here and find all the things God said in this Bible about the tongue, hey, you'd think that we'd begin to control our tongue, that we'd pray that God would give us victory over our tongue and get a hold of it. And yet, people are so careless and glib with their tongue. The tongue controls us, not us control the tongue. And that's a mess. Please look in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. In Proverbs chapter 10, there are just all sorts of things through there about the tongue. But in verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. That is, as he preaches the word of God, see, he presents the excellent things. But the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Turn, please, to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Let's see. Let's start in verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known. Verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. He shows deceit. Verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Then there's a healthy tongue. And that's the tongue of the wise. Well, who is the wise? It's the one that fears God. Well, if a man fears God and reads the passages pertaining to the tongue, he'll pray that God Almighty give him victory over the tongue and control the tongue instead of the tongue controlling him. Therefore, he'll speak things that are wise. Turn, please, to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. In other words, there is a wholesome tongue then, and the wholesome tongue is a tree of life. In other words, as we preach the gospel of Christ, we preach a message of life. And just like today, see, in other words, a man, let's go over, like for instance now, when the tree of life is available to the nations, they go in and eat of the tree of life and have eternal life. Those people that partake of the words that we speak unto them, as we speak the excellent things from the Word of God, get life. They eat our words as we preach the gospel and have eternal life as those eat of the tree of life and have life. And the wholesomeness here is like, and I think about like there is a bread on the market. I believe it's called Wholesome. And on and on. In other words, wholesome is that which is opposite. For instance, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is not wholesome. Therefore, the literature that is on the market today would be represented in your Bible by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it always exalts man above the Word of God. I am fascinated by the literature today pertaining to horoscopes and things like that. And there is a thing today that is very prevalent, and it's called pendulum power. Now, pendulum power is akin to the use of Ouija boards. And in this pendulum power, you use it like a Ouija board, except you take the pendulum, you make the pendulum, or you can buy them, and they have them of all sorts and descriptions. And you put that thing on a string, and this'll work. If you have any willpower at all, you can make it work. You put that thing on a string, and you hold it in front of you, and let it hang down there, right in front of you. And by sheer willpower, without swinging it, and it's good to brace your hand somewhere, and by willpower, you can make that pendulum swing back and forth. And you say, you know that's true. I know that's true. I guarantee you I can do it. You can stop the thing, and you can make it swing in a counterclockwise circle, or you can make it swing in a clockwise circle. And with practice, the more you practice that, the more it'll work. So that what you do, according to this cult, you establish which way is yes and which way is no. For instance, maybe clockwise is yes, counterclockwise is no. Therefore, if you want to know the answer to something, your subconscious mind is supposed to be the thing that operates the pendulum. Therefore, you ask the pendulum the question, and what you're doing, you're asking yourself the question is the idea. And as you hold that thing there and concentrate, if that thing swings to the left, your subconscious mind is saying the answer is no. If that thing swings to the right, your subconscious mind is saying yes. And you're supposed to have peace and harmony with all this sort of thing. And that's just exactly like that stupid Ouija board. You put your hand on that thing on that Ouija board and ask it a question, and it moves, you know, and all that kind of nonsense. Well, the thing is, all the literature on that kind of stuff denies the Word of God. In fact, to the business, this thing about pendulum power is most fascinating. The guy does not believe in any kind of Puritan teaching at all, and expresses himself so. And he says that people ought to be totally and completely free within themselves to do anything, and he doesn't use the word, but the word is lust. No matter what you want, if the pendulum says yes, get on with it. For instance, I'd say, should I rob the First National Bank? If that thing went to the right, get my gun and get on with it. That would be the thing to do, according to their teaching. And they don't go that severe with it, but in effect, that's what it amounts to. In other words, instead of praying and asking God to give you the answer to some problem, you go to the devil and the powers of the devil to answer that for you, as with the Ouija board, as with other things that the cults use today. You see, hey folks, that's the tree of life. I mean, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Opposite, this is the tree of life. Therefore, the tongue that speaks the word of God rightly divided is a tree of life. Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. Notice in Proverbs 17, we'll start in verse 1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Then there is a naughty tongue there. In other words, we got a viper's tongue, a flattering tongue, a proud tongue, a deceitful tongue, a false tongue, lying tongue, forward tongue, a healthy tongue, wholesome tongue, and a naughty tongue. And you know something? The person that uses the naughty tongue listens to lies. In other words, their ear is like a garbage can. And the deceitful tongue, that is the sharp sword that we read about, sharper than a sword, cuts down certain people to their back by bringing that stuff in the ear of that one that has the naughty tongue, and they receive that which comes from the lying tongue, for they enjoy that. Then notice the perverse tongue in the same chapter. Look in chapter 17, verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, but he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Now, folks, there can be no mistake about this thing. In other words, the tongue controls the body, and the man that hath a froward tongue falleth into mischief. If you control your tongue, you can control yourself, but if you can't control your tongue, you can't control yourself. And that'll never fail. And you can't control your tongue. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, gives you victory over the tongue. be careful what you say. The Bible said that everything that's said is going to be revealed. Therefore, we're going to have to give. You know what? We're going to give an account at the words. At the judgment, we're going to give an account of words, folks. Our words are going to be laid upon the fire there and tried by the fire. And if our words stand the fire, the doctrine taught by our words, don't you see, are going to stand, and we're going to be crowned. If they burn, we're going to suffer loss. Try your words by the word of God. Then notice the soft tongue. Look in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Now there are people that, boy, they'd go for this one. And it's good. And yet you have to look at this thing, you have to compare scripture. Proverbs 25. Let's go to verse 15. I'm going to go back before then. Verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. And if you know your Bible, then 2 Peter chapter 2 just pops out there. These are clouds without water, tossed with the winds and whatever. In other words, they're men that boast themselves in a false gift. God Almighty never gave them the gift. He didn't call them. They proceeded forward on their own, and they're clouds without water. Verse 15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. In other words, by long forbearing, we'll compare with Matthew or Jesus. Jesus, by the way, is the prince. And the forbearing here is like praying or whatever. And he's persuaded. And the idea is like unto the, he gives the example. He said, in learning, he teaching them how to pray, he said there was a man that had a visitor come in the middle of the night, and he didn't have anything to feed him, a friend of his. And so he went to his neighbor next door and knocked on the door, and he said, this friend of mine has come this way, and I don't have anything to give him. Would you give me some bread? And the fellow's in bed, and he said, I don't want to get up at this hour. And so he wouldn't get up. But that fellow forbearing. He was persuasive. He just kept banging on the door and kept begging. And finally, because of his persistence, the man got up, gave him the loaf of bread, and he went back and fed his neighbor. You know, that was a real blessing to me when that thing got through to me. I saw something in that thing. I saw that I couldn't just go and bang on the Lord's door all night long. He'd answer for anything I asked for. But I found out something. You know what? If you want the scriptural answer for something, you bang on the Lord's door, and the scriptural answer is the bread, and God Almighty will give you the bread. But you don't get it by just saying, Lord, I want to know this. You have to keep knocking, just like digging for gold. You have to put some toil in that thing, as in 2 Timothy 2:15, study, and the word study there is striving, struggling. Study to show thyself, and whatever. But you know what? You know something that the Lord will do? The passage there says the soft tongue is the thing. And so people say, oh, he is so sweet. He has such soft speech. His personality is so charming. And he's never harsh or cruel. And on and on. Well, notice what the Bible says about that. Go back to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And notice verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. And dainty meats here, in other words, that's the pleasurable stuff that the preacher puts forth. See, the bread of the meat of God is the word of God. Verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he'll despise the wisdom of thy words. In other words, if the fool goes and the fool listens to the fellow that's got the dainty words and said, oh, he's so marvelous, Have you heard him? Why, he'll just bless your soul. He never gets on to you, and his countenance is always sweet and soft and all that kind of thing, you know? And you'll enjoy him. Well, the fool just goes for that kind of stuff. But you know what? If you speak to the fool, the wisdom of God, he'll despise your words. Now go to chapter 24, and notice this soft word stuff here. Chapter 24, verse 24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Now folks, take that to heart. Hey, that fellow that rebukes people is the one to listen at. Don't listen to that fellow of 2 Timothy chapter 4 that tickles their ears and brings the dainty words and the soft words consistently. Soft words are good, but they're only good for certain things. There are hard words that need to be spoken, as in Jude. He said, some hate the flesh, pulling them out of the fire, some love and whatever. And so the man who's always got the soft words, and he's always sweet, and he has that smile, that grin, you know, that forced grin. Hey, you better watch out for that fellow. The fool's loving, but the wise are not deceived by him. Man told me the other day, and I'll not call any names here. This man is a preacher, and he's a friend of mine. And he was visiting in a Grace Church last Sunday. And he told me that he didn't put on a tie. He just turned his collar outside his shirt. And he got there. And this pastor said, we're glad to have Brother So-and-so with us this morning. I'm going to ask him if he'll lead us in prayer. But in that church, you don't just pray back in the congregation. You come behind the podium and pray. So he had to come up there, get in front of the people, lead in prayer. So he got through, and this pastor said, if Brother So-and-so would have known that he was going to be asked to lead in prayer, he would have worn a tie. He apologized for it. Now, you know something? I wouldn't waste my time listening to such stuff as that. You say those are not soft words. No, they're not. I didn't intend them to be. I wouldn't waste my time with that. I think the tie is nice, and I think that's great if a man wants to wear a tie. But listen to me. You know what that implies? That implies that when that man comes behind that pulpit and doesn't have that tie on, his words didn't get outside and God couldn't hear him. But if he'd have put on a necktie, God would have heard his words. Or it implies that the prayer wasn't meant for God in the first place. It was meant for the people. Therefore, he ought to dress like a movie star as he prayed, because the prayer was for the people. Now, that's a lot of nonsense. One other passage pertaining to this tongue here. Notice in Proverbs 25, verse 23. By the way, I'm going to have to read before that, because it'll match Romans 12. You'll recognize it as we go by. Go to verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. If thine enemy be hunger, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink, as in Romans 12. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now here it is. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. There's a backbiting tongue in the passage then, but that isn't all. Anybody that has any knowledge of weather knows how that the north wind drives out rain. In other words, the wind from the south picks up water off the gulf and brings the water in and dumps it on the land. But the north wind is cold, and the coal will not allow the water to do whatever it does, form in drops, and so the north wind will send that rain right back out and whatever, and as a result of that, drive it out, and so it is with a countenance. Watch out for that countenance, folks. That fellow that always has that sweet countenance and that smile on his face never was bothered by one backbiter in anybody's congregation. But you know something? That fellow that's got a countenance that bears out what's behind that countenance, that backbiter will talk about him behind his back, but he won't sit down and look him in the eye and do the backbiting. Now that's fascinating to me. Most fascinating. In other words, I know, as you do, that gossip behind the back is like using a sword, which the Bible said, the tongue is a sharpened sword, a piercing sword, and the man is afraid to face those he don't like. Therefore, he gets behind their back and cuts them down behind their back, for in so doing, he exalts himself in the eyes of those that love to hear him run the other one down. But he can't get that fellow with him and go face to face in front of that person that they hate and look them dead in the eye and backbite him there. It won't work because the countenance can't be stood. And that's why people are going to tremble and they're going to get a hold of their legs and whatever as they look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your soul, they're going to come face to face with him. They're going to look at his countenance. They refuse to do so today. They talk about him to his back. They curse him. They slander him. They laugh at him. And they laugh at those that stand for him. And they don't want to face him. And someday, they're going to face him and grab those knees like that and try to hold them to keep from shaking and trembling. And they can't face that countenance. But that isn't all. If you stand for the truth, if you preach the truth, carry forth the truth, it's going to have something to do with your countenance. If you don't believe it will, read this Bible and notice the countenance of the Lord in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in his earthly ministry. Why do you think that they grabbed a hold of the Lord in Luke chapter 4? Ran out the door with him. They're going to throw him off that cliff and they get out there and he turned and walked through the middle of them. Why? Why, they thought they just going to, I mean, you know, ain't nothing to this. And yet he turned the countenance on his face. And it caused them to just fall aside. And he walked right through the midst of them and walked out of the way. Why would the Lord be able to go into that temple where they're buying and they're selling in there and take that whip and beat those people with that whip, kick over their money tables, and run them out of there? Because of his countenance. And people can't stand that countenance. You know why? Because there is a look in those eyes and that face that shows the wrath that is behind there, and the backbiter, if he wasn't afraid of the wrath, wouldn't be a backbiter in the first place. He'd face the person eyeball to eyeball to start with. Watch out for the tongue. The tongue is an evil thing, the Bible says. It is an unruly evil. It boasteth great things. It carries lies. It'll control your body. It'll cause you to be involved so that later on you'll say, I could kick myself for saying, why did I want to say that? And on, watch out for that tongue. And just as that ship is controlled by that little bitty helm, that captain has to control the helm. There has to be a captain that controls your tongue, or it will get your body out of control. When your body gets out of control, it'll speak words that you will be sorry for at the judgment seat of Christ. Control the tongue. No man can tame it. Then what can you do? By the word of God, say the things that please God and keep to yourself the things that are against God, that are contrary to sound doctrine and whatever, and you'll be safe. But when you don't do that, you know something? Stay away from that garbage that is put out by the religious political societies of this world that are just like eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Next week, Lord willing, we'll come back and get back into this thing about last week. You remember I referred to the fact of the power that are in words, the fact that man has been given authority, and he lost that authority to the devil by use of his tongue. How that authority for God will be received back by use of the tongue. But next week I want to go far deeper into this thing about the use of the tongue than we've been thus far.